I am obviously very excited about our commencement speaker this afternoon. So if I were going to college today in these volatile times, I would want Dr. Michael Lindsay to be my college president because of three things. One, his credentials. Dr. Lindsay is a well-learned man. He got his PhD from Princeton in sociology. Before that, he studied theology both at Princeton Seminary and at Wycliffe Hall in Oxford. And prior to that, he was at Baylor University. More than that, Dr. Lindsay has spent a long time not just being a leader, but studying leadership. And so his latest book, called Vision from the Top, is from extensive interviews of folks who've been at the top of organizations, including former presidents. And so Dr. Lindsay not only understands leadership at a deep level, he practices it. And maybe more important than those two things, Dr. Michael Lindsay is a friend. He's been a friend to the Christian classical movement for a long time now, being involved both with the Society of Classical Learning and being a friend to the Geneva School. He's on our board of reference, and he's come to our school on a few occasions to speak at chapel. And underneath all of that, Dr. Lindsay is also a Southern boy from Jackson, Mississippi, so you know he understands something about good food and how to tell good stories. So please join me in welcoming Dr. Michael Lindsay.
What a nice, thank you. Thank you. What a nice, thoughtful introduction. Thank you, Andrew. It's a great privilege to be able to be here today, and thank you for the opportunity to come and be part of such an exciting and special day. Gordon College is very grateful for its partnership. We look forward to welcoming Luke in the fall, and we wish all the graduates the very best to the place where God has called you as you go forth from this place. And I should also say, Rebecca and I deeply value the transformative work that happens day in and day out here at the Geneva School. As mentioned, I've been on the board of reference for a few years, and I always look forward to getting the courier so I have an idea of what's happening on campus. It's exciting to see how the Lord is using the Geneva School in the lives not only of its students, but in the wider world of global Christianity, trying to demonstrate how we bear forth to our faith and at the same time to achieve the highest levels of academic excellence. So it's a great privilege to be able to be here with you today on this special occasion. This afternoon, I wanted to draw some reflections from a particular passage of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 7. Hear the word of the Lord. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land. And everlasting joy will be yours. This is a very special graduating class of the Geneva School. Today, we honor the future that lies ahead as we celebrate all that God is doing in your lives, as he recognizes the significant work you have done over the last 12, 13 years, and are being sent out to 17 different institutions of higher learning in the fall. 82% of this graduating class have been varsity athletes, and fully 27% of them were National Merit Scholars, including two finalists. Not too bad for a graduating class of 22. Since first grade, I estimate that you have spent 2,160 days in school. That means approximately a third of your life has been spent in class. The good news is that when you go to college, you'll spend fewer hours in class. The bad news is you're going to spend the same amount of time, if not more, doing schoolwork. The difference is you'll do a little bit more schoolwork outside of class than in it. It's an extraordinary class, and I'm impressed with what I've been able to learn about the class of 2016. Two of them have had the achievement of being recognized as an Eagle Scout, which is something that less than 3% of all Scouts eventually achieve. I've also heard wonderful stories about your faith and the way in which you try to live that out day in and day out. I was touched by hearing about a member of this class who was extraordinarily compassionate and generous to some homeless people in Italy two summers ago, demonstrating the tender kindness of this young man's love for God and a wonderful witness to us all. Graduates, you have worked very hard to achieve this significant milestone. I know you're eager to finally receive the reward for all of your late nights and long days. But before we send you on your way, before you commence to this next chapter in your life, let me remind you of three things. And for that, we turn to Isaiah 61. First, you have been blessed to be a blessing. Verse 1 says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and to comfort all who mourn." This is how this ancient passage begins. And you know, from having studied scripture well, this is a summary of how Jesus talks about his own ministry in Luke chapter 4. We've been blessed to be a blessing. That's a mantra that we all must live by. There has never been a generation of Christ followers who have walked the earth who have received more blessings than those of us in this room today. And graduates, you are now joining a very selective group. You have now achieved something that has only been achieved by less than 1% of the world's population throughout the ages. You're graduating from high school. You're in the 99th percentile. You're blessed. And we know from Scripture that unto him much is given, much is required. Isaiah 61 makes clear what's required of all of us: to share good news with the poor, to bless those who are on the margins of society. Some of you graduates know exactly where you're going and exactly what you will be doing. Others, you're still trying to figure out exactly what God would have you to do and where he would want you to serve. I have to say that I was in that latter category as I headed off to college. I didn't know what my major would be, and I wasn't entirely sure what my vocational path would be. The funny thing is I haven't done any of those things I thought I would do as a college freshman. But that's okay, because Mom and Dad, I'm living proof that you can change your major four times in college and you still turn out okay. So remember that, Mom and Dad, when you get the phone call in the fall semester about the new major or the new sense of calling. College is a part of exploring, of seeing where it is that God would have you to serve. Wherever that may be, graduates, we're admonished here in Scripture to take on the attitude of a servant, to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort those who mourn. You don't have to look very far to find folks who really need that kind of encouragement, the kind of ministry that your presence will be on whatever campus God is leading you to. If you hear only one thing from me this morning, hear this: you are blessed to be a blessing. And there are many places where you could end up serving. I am incredibly encouraged by where we see Christ followers making a positive difference in our society. People who share the good news with the poor, to free those who are held in bondage, to use their gifts for God's glory. People like Gary Haugen, who 20 years ago had a vision to try and bring the biblical understanding of justice to a broken world when he started the International Justice Mission. It's It's a great example of a ministry that's not that old, but has made a huge difference. It's now been actively involved in protecting 21 million people around the world from oppression, and has directly relieved 28,000 souls from unfair actions and outright oppression, ending things like human trafficking, sex slavery, and injustice. Whatever your calling might be, we are blessed to be a blessing. And so take that as you go forth from this place. Verse 3 introduces an interesting metaphor, which is my second big point. It's a metaphor for what God's servants should be. Scripture says they'll be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. If you read the passage really carefully, you recognize that this is about a person who turns despair into a garment of praise, who turns ashes into a crown of beauty. You see, friends, the messenger here that Isaiah is writing about is a change agent, somebody who makes the world a better place. Graduates, you're called on to be oaks of righteousness. Now, you and I know righteousness is not a term that our culture necessarily likes or embraces. We have become a society that's uncomfortable with the calls for holy or righteous living. And yet, that is the countercultural nature of the gospel. So how are each of us doing in this call toward righteous living? I imagine each of us fall woefully short every single day. I certainly do. But may I be so bold as to suggest one area where I believe all of us could improve, especially on a day like today? It's in our words. Big milestones like high school graduations can be exciting days, but truth be told, they can also be stressful days. If you're like my family, we run late to big occasions like this. We oftentimes have strong words with our loved ones as we're making our way to the auditorium. And there's lots of uncertainty. Even as we celebrate big moments, we're also sort of worried about what's coming next. Where will we go from here? How am I going to manage saying goodbye to dear friends and moving into a future that I don't actually know what it really looks like? They can push us to say and do things that we regret, even though we have good intentions. I still remember the summer I experienced after graduating high school before I went off to college. It was a stressful, tough time. I was anxious and worried about what I was going to be like in college and would I like my roommate? How would I get along in my new environment? There was a lot of anxiety and worry in that season. And I have to say one natural outcome is that I didn't always say the things I wanted. I said things that were sometimes hurtful, mean, or just unintentional slights. It happens when we're frustrated or worried or anxious. But you know, Scripture admonishes us to not let any unwholesome talk come out of our mouths. Let that be our guidepost today and in the days ahead. Let's pursue righteousness by making our words full of kindness, love, and grace. Graduates, that's the second thing I want you to remember. You are oaks of righteousness, mighty example of God's splendor, with roots that go down deep, as well as trees with strong branches that can provide support for those who need a place to rest. The interesting thing about giant oak trees is that they all begin as tiny acorns. We each begin as a seedling, a tiny germ. And by God's grace, we grow into the man or woman God would have us to be in a full flowering. Back on the Gordon campus, we have a resident naturalist, Professor Dorothy Borse, in our biology department. She's taught me a lot about oak trees. I thought I knew about them. I grew up in Mississippi where we have lots of live oaks and water oaks, but I've learned a whole lot. Did you know, for example, that there are approximately 600 different species of oak trees in the world today? And actually, only about 90 of them are here in the United States. Most of the oak tree's species are around the world. Acorns will take 6 to 18 months to be able to mature, depending on their species. And then the full maturation of an oak tree, it takes a really long time. Oaks are hardwoods that tend to grow very slowly. In fact, the oldest oak tree in the United States is estimated to be 2,000 years old. But their slow-growing nature actually serves an important purpose because it produces dense wood that is hardy and can be used for many different purposes. And so it is with us. We each have different callings, different roles of service. Graduates, part of your task over the next few years is to figure out what would be your calling and what would God have you to do. One of my favorite authors on the subject of vocation is Frederick Buechner. One of his most famous quotes is that the place God calls you to, he writes, is the place where your deep gladness and where the world's deep hunger meet. That really resonates with me, and I encourage you to find that particular meeting point in your own life as you go forth from this place. Sometimes it can take you to surprising places. 10 years ago, if you had told me that I would be here representing Gordon College as its president, I would have said, "You're crazy." At the time, my wife and I were in the process of moving from Princeton, New Jersey to Houston, Texas, for me to take up a faculty appointment at Rice University. My wife is originally from Dallas, and so while we were living in Princeton, she always had this secret hope that we might be able to return back to her native state of Texas. She tells me that there's a lasso that gets around the neck of a native Texan, and the further they are from the state line, the tighter the pull back to the motherland. So she felt like she had finally come home when we landed the faculty opportunity at Rice. And so many good things happened while we were there. We loved our church. I had the blessing of being able to teach a Sunday school class that was very meaningful. My teaching and research was going really well, getting more credit than it deserved. And we loved being a lot closer to our families. All seemed to be right in the world. So when the search committee called from Gordon College to ask if I was interested in applying for the presidency, I was deeply honored, but genuinely thought we were right where God wanted us. I had great respect for Gordon as one of the top Christian colleges in the country, and I loved the people I'd gotten to know from Gordon over the years, but I just didn't think it was the place for me. I drove one time in Boston while conducting research for one of my books. And I have to tell you, if you have driven in Boston, it can be a somewhat exasperating experience. I don't know if you've done that, but I have never seen so many one-way and confusing streets in all of my life. Quite literally, they make a habit of changing the names of the streets every block, so you can't even follow the same road. I called my wife one day and swore, "I am never going to drive in this city again." I should have known the Lord had something in store for me. Over the course of several months, he used a series of events to actually lead us to that place. And I have to say, it was a scary move for us. You see, I'm from Mississippi. I had never driven in snow before. In fact, now that I've lived in New England for 5 years, I can tell you that truthfully, I probably really had never actually experienced snow like they describe it up there. Nor was I confident I was going to be able to translate their accents into understandable English. Now, I'm from Jackson, Mississippi, and I know some of you may think that we talk funny, but let me tell you, I know the people in Boston talk funny. But for all of those idiosyncrasies, I have to say we have really come to love that place. The Gordon community warmly welcomed us and made us be part of the community, and it's been one of the very best things that could have ever happened to us. Graduates, I was able to find that meeting place where my heart's deep gladness and the world's deep need met. I hope you too can find that place. And that brings me to the third thing I want you to remember today. The Lord promises those who are oaks of righteousness an inheritance that is a double portion of the land and everlasting joy. You see, it's a natural progression. You're blessed to be a blessing, so that you might develop into an oak of righteousness. And then the reward is everlasting joy. This doesn't mean that the path will always be easy, nor does it mean that your investments will always double. This is about taking the long view, what Eugene Peterson has described as a long obedience in the same direction. Christian faithfulness grows from a tiny acorn into a giant oak of righteousness, not because of what we do, but because of what God has already done and is doing in our lives, day in and day out. Graduates, as God's trees, we are not responsible for the soil into which we have been born, nor are we responsible for how many sunny or rainy days come into our life. Instead, our responsibility is to make sure that we are on the right trajectory to grow upward toward God's glory, of aligning our life with the will and purposes of God through a daily turning our lives over to His leading. I think it's a good word for all of us today. We are called to bear God's splendor. Just as oaks produce acorns that are used to produce more oaks, so also we are called to have a multiplicative effect on our own world. So my word of encouragement to the class of 2016 is to actively seek ways to show God's splendor. You can do this as you teach in urban centers, as undoubtedly some of you may do. You can do it as you go to serve in places like Silicon Valley or Wall Street. You can do it as pastors, physicians, or artists. In these and every other endeavor, pursue godly living, become an oak of righteousness for the display of God's splendor. Did you know that fully grown oak trees can actually absorb 50 gallons of water every day? They develop very deep roots that they draw upon to sustain and nourish them. Graduates, in similar way, you have been drinking deeply from the well of wisdom and knowledge as you have been in formation during your time here at the Geneva School. And you're also going to be bearing fruit of producing good things that come as a result of a life of obedience. Each oak tree produces about 2,000 acorns every year. Now, most of those acorns, they don't actually become oak trees. They serve as food for small animals like squirrels or chipmunks. Some of the acorns can end up in the bottom of the lake or can get paved over the roadway when there are renovations. Or, as the parable states, some of it can just simply fall on barren ground. Very few acorns actually become fully grown oak trees. Only about 1 in 10,000 become an oak tree. But every so often, oak trees will have what is a special year when they produce many more acorns than usual. This is referred to as a mast year. We actually experienced a mast year last year on the campus of Gordon. It was amazing. I had never seen so many acorns in all my life. They were everywhere. You see, in mast years, something amazing happens. The oak trees put tremendous energy into producing exponentially more acorns that year than they have in any other year before. Typically, in a mast year, they will produce 5 times the usual number. So instead of 2,000 acorns, the oak tree will produce 10,000 acorns. And the more interesting thing is that all of the oak trees in the same area will do the same level of intense productivity all at once. In community, they recognize that if they're going to have a multiplicative effect, they've got to produce a lot more acorns in their area so that you won't have the animals seeking to eat them. In fact, there'll be leftover acorns. And that out of that will grow a little group of oak trees that will develop. That's actually how oaks end up becoming part of a larger grove. For the last 12 to 13 years, you've been soaking up the gallons of water that's been shared by this amazing school's faculty who care and love for you in deep ways. You've survived those honors in AP classes and late night memorizing of the play. You've conquered calculus and mastered medieval literature. You've drunk deeply from the well of knowledge and wisdom. And now, we look forward to seeing all that you will produce. This is our mast year, where we're sending out 22 of you into the world to make a positive difference, to be an oak of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. As you go forth, remember, friends, that you have been blessed to be a blessing, to become an oak of righteousness to display God's splendor, and that the reward will be eternal joy. We're proud of you. We thank God for you. And we wish you the very best into what God has called you to next. God bless you all.